American Broadcasting Company presents The Candid Microphone, the program that brings you the secretly recorded reactions of all kinds of people to all kinds of situations. No one ever knows when he's talking into the candid microphone.
If you miss part of a movie because the lady in front is wearing an upsweep hat, well, you can always stay to see it again or catch it at another theater. If you're interrupted while reading a book, you can take it up again without missing a syllable. But let one word of any radio program slip by, and it's gone forever. Well, maybe that's for the better, but it shouldn't happen to Candid Microphone. Just in case you have missed any of the secret recordings heard so far on this program, and for those who came in late, we bring you today a condensation of all our programs to date. In all of them, we have tried to capture the sounds of people like you who were caught in the act of being themselves by the Candid Microphone. Uneasy lies the head of the family when his wife is trying to wake him up in time to get to the office before his boss does. But remember, it's no picnic for her either. The man with the hidden mic decided to broadcast a typical awakening in the household of the most happily married couple he knew. The standard procedure here was for the wife to get up first, and then when breakfast was ready, to awaken her husband. On July 13th, though, this routine was changed just enough for her to admit the man with the hidden mic. Then, as she went through her daily routine of bickering with the Sandman, a microphone was held near her husband's sleepy head to capture this secret recording of an early worm getting the bird.
Tom? Tom, it's time to get up.
Ah.
Darling, the clock rang 15 minutes ago.
All right, honey, I'll be right up. Be right up. Come out then.
You've got a lot to do today. You're supposed to be in early. Tom? Tom?
Yes, I know.
Come on, darling. You can't keep this up. Don't stall any longer.
All right, all right.
Shall I light a cigarette for you? Will you remember that it's lit?
Listen, will you please get lost for a minute, please? I'll be right up.
Tom, please. You can't kid around anymore. Watch that cigarette.
All right, I'm up.
The coffee's ready. Tom, coffee's ready.
All right.
Your orange juice is nice and cold.
All right.
Come on, darling, don't kid around, please.
I'm up, honey.
Darling, try to get up, please.
All right, honey, I'm up.
It's late. Well, if you're up, why are you
all not? Listen, I'll be up. Just leave me alone, will you, please?
Every morning. I'm tired of it. Will you please get up?
Will you please go away and bruise yourself, honey, please?
Tom, you're late. I don't want to have to speak to you again. Will you please get out of bed?
All right, I'm up.
Well, then open your eyes. Look as though you're alive for a moment, will you?
Will you please look as though you're getting lost for a moment, please? Go away, let me alone, will you?
I think if you take a shower, you'll feel good.
I think if you go get lost, that's even better, huh?
I don't like you talking to me that way. Once and for all, I insist that you get up out of this bed.
All right, then. I'm up. I'm awake.
Well, let's see you move.
What time is it, honey?
It's very late. It's 9 o'clock.
9 o'clock?
So never underestimate the power of a woman, nor her patience with the man she loves. When a man becomes attached to his mustache, or vice versa, there is no vice worse than trifling with that affection. Say one harsh word about his bristles and watch him bristle. To one fellow with a stiff upper lip, the man with the hidden mic said a few words one day to prove that a man and his mustache are not soon parted. The candid reporter put this question to him on a busy corner of Times Square.
Excuse me, sir. Could I talk to you just for a moment?
Yeah, go ahead.
Would you come over here just for a second? Okay. I'll tell you what I want to ask you. I know it's going to sound very, very strange, but I happen to be conducting a one-man campaign in this city against mustaches. I am willing to pay you $25 if you will remove the mustache you're now wearing.
Sounds a little crazy to me. I don't know.
Well, I know it does sound crazy, and I try to explain that to you, but the fact is that I once had a very unfortunate experience involving a mustache that I once grew, and I'm trying to have other people avoid such misfortune.
Yeah, but if you had trouble with it, I mean, why does that mean that I'm going to have trouble with it?
It's just a peculiar idea of mine, and I want to make that offer to you. I think it's very generous, don't you? $25?
Well, I don't know. It's crazy.
It doesn't look very well on you anyhow.
Well, look, that's a matter of opinion, Bud. It looks all right to me as far as I'm concerned.
Well, I don't mean any offense, but I've personally found that mustaches can hurt a man in a lot of different ways. And if you'll be good enough to cut that mustache off and meet me here tomorrow afternoon, 43rd Street and Broadway, the same corner, at 2:30, if you're not wearing a mustache, then I'll pay you $25.
Look, the mustache is all right to me. I mean, it does something for my face. I don't know. Maybe you had trouble with yours. Why should I feel that it's bad for me?
$25.
Yeah, so what?
How long does it take you to grow another one?
Well, that's not the point. Well, why should a guy come up to me and offer me $25 just to take the mustache off?
Well, haven't any unusual things ever happened to you in your life? Do you always understand everything that happens?
Well, no, but nothing as crazy as this. This guy doesn't come up to you and offer you $25.
Well, I'm doing it. That's exactly what I owe you.
I mean, I don't know you. Why should you offer me $25?
It's just a personal idea of mine. Now, why not test it?
Well, because if you had trouble, why should it mean that I'm going to have trouble with it? The thing's all right for me.
Isn't it worthwhile investing just a couple of strokes of your razor to make $25 and possibly to avoid a lot of trouble in your life? Maybe your wife will like you better. Maybe everybody will like you better.
Nah, she likes it the way it is. Maybe
she never has even told you how she really feels about it.
Yeah, we talk about this. That's something you talk about all the time.
Well, look, Bud, I don't have a lot of time. Why don't you agree right now to cut that mustache off?
You sound a little nuts to me, Bud. I'm sorry, but it's ridiculous.
$25?
So I don't want to take it all.
Well, you must be a really rich man who can afford to turn down a thing like this. How about $50?
It ain't the money, for God's sake. It's, why should I cut it off?
Just on the basis of my suggestion.
I don't know you.
Well, make it a purely financial transaction. Wouldn't you run an errand for $25?
Well, maybe I would, but, I don't know you. Why should you offer me money for that?
Don't I look honest enough? Why would I come up to you in the first place?
Well, there are a lot of crackpots around town. A lot of guys think of crazy things like that.
Well, look, Bud, there's a lot of people I want to make this same suggestion to. I'll give you one more chance. $50 is the highest I'll pay if you'll cut off your mustache and meet me here tomorrow.
Look, if the guys that want to take the mustache off for that dough, go ahead and find the other guy.
Well, wait, don't go.
Now, look, mister, let go of my arm.
I don't mean to. Well, that's all right. I'm sorry if I seem to be put. It's your last chance.
Nah, forget it.
Censored.
The censor who chimed in at the very end objected to only two things: what the man said, and the way he said it. You will never know how deadly the female of the species can be until you've heard them talk when they're sure no man is listening. Mark down August 3rd as the memorable day when Candid Microphone lifted the lace curtain. We didn't set the scene for this secret recording, and we allowed you to guess where this conversation was picked up by the hidden microphone. For a lot of reasons, the man with the hidden mic stayed out of this. But he did prove that girls will be garrulous. Now, where do you suppose Candid Microphone could have overheard something like this?
isn't bad on the look, but the way that boy dances,
no,
I don't know.
No. Well, he looks like a big ox anyway, so...
Well, he is.
I don't know what to say to him.
I really don't.
Well, what about your fellow?
Oh,
well,
he's nice, but he's a little boring. He's not very intelligent.
Well, it's good that we can carry on a conversation.
See this? I cut myself shaving this morning.
Oh, for goodness sake, she must have had a terribly sharp razor doing that.
It was.
What you put on it to stop it? I can never stop my legs from bleeding when I cut them.
Oh, really?
Well, nothing at all.
A little piece of tape and just stick it right
does
on my line. And it does.
Oh, for goodness sake, I didn't know that. I usually pour cold water on it, the more water I need.
Did you see, though, that light blue dress, the powder blue dress she wore yesterday, and those green shoes?
Green, powder blue.
And then she wears a pink
hat.
I don't know where she gets the tape. But mind you, she goes out criticizing me all the time.
Isn't that the nice dress you're wearing, by the way? How much paper?
Well, you'd never believe it,
Thomas.
But I spent $10 for this dress, and it's on Fifth Avenue for $30.
No kidding.
Yes.
Well, maybe the one on Fifth Avenue, the material is probably better. That's the reason.
No, it's exactly the same material. Fine.
It would be the same material for $30 on Fifth Avenue. You pay $10. I mean, let's not.
Well,
his money, his position, his this, his that. And that isn't bad enough, but then he starts talking politics. He ought to go and learn something, the idea.
Well, I don't think he was that bad.
Do you really know?
You don't think he was
bad?
He's
amusing at times.
I think without doubt he is the biggest bore I ever met in my life. All right, if he has money, we all know he has money. He doesn't have to throw it in our faces. And position. What position?
Well, he is.
You know what his father was. So what, Sue?
Well, give him a chance. Maybe he'll
give him a chance. If I don't slap his face, I'll slap him down. Something will happen. I can't stand the bore. I can't stand a man like that. We all know when a person is a person. They don't have to sit there and tell us they're people. The fact remains that he's nobody, otherwise he wouldn't have to try and impress us with how wonderful he is and how gorgeous he is.
Well, it might be, maybe he's been in that kind of company where the girls just fell all over him.
Well, Roman, not I am so burned up, I'm telling you, I am furious.
Think you know where those recordings were made? Well, go ahead and think so. But you can be wrong, you know. If you want to find the man with the hidden mic, and before he catches you in the act one day, here are a few clues. He looks like 10 million other guys, and he sounds like them, too. His clothes are no different either, except that he's usually wearing a microphone, one that you won't see because it's well concealed. The microphone is attached to a portable recorder. So even though you think that what you say is between you, this stranger, and the lamppost, everything you say is for the record. So maybe you'd better not bother looking for the man with the hidden mic. He'll probably find you first. And when he does, you won't know, until it's all over, that you've been speaking candidly into the candid microphone. In his search for different kinds of people to secretly record for candid microphone, the man with the hidden mic has met all kinds. And not many of them have reacted quite as expected. Many times, the candid reporter has gone into a man's place of business expecting to be thrown out. But it's nice to find out that most people can take time from their busy days to listen to almost any kind of story. And the man with the hidden mic had a good one when he dropped into a tailor shop and asked the tailor to try this one on for size and for the candid microphone.
I was recommended to your shop by a good friend of mine. I have to have a suit of clothes made up for a kangaroo.
A kangaroo?
That's right.
For heaven's sake.
And I want to have a kind of a zoot suit made up for him. You suppose you can handle that?
Gee, it's something out of the ordinary. I never tried anything like that.
Yeah, well, it'll be an unusual experience. See, I want peg trousers and a long coat. And we'll really make a fine garment. I want to make it carefully.
I can make peg trousers, and I can make a fine garment. But a kangaroo, he's inclined to be a little wild, isn't he?
No, this animal is trained to box.
Yeah.
But it only boxes other kangaroos.
Yeah.
Now, this is a problem. See, we'll have to have this animal fitted. How many fittings do you usually need for custom?
Well, roughly about, for a kangaroo, I probably need about 3 fittings.
Why, you need more for a kangaroo than for anything else?
Why, sure. I know a kangaroo ain't like a human being.
Well, that's true.
That's...
And then about pockets, you see. What do you can, you know, low pockets?
Yes, give him low pockets or a slash pocket.
Uh-huh.
I could give him a pocket way down to his... to the bottom of the trousers make no difference to me.
Well, no, you know, a real zooty.
Yes, I'm making
it. In an interesting way.
Yeah, sure.
And then, what about the tail? How do we work that? You see, it's got a long tail. How do we work that out?
Well, would you want the tail enclosed in the back of the coat? Or would you want to have a long zipper so the tail could be out of the pocket? Be a long pocket light to keep his tail in? Or have a long zipper and have his tail out?
I don't think a zipper is practical.
Well, we could make a long, long pocket to put that tail of this right in that pocket.
No, I
Or don't you want a long pocket? Or don't you want a, tail to extend out the back of his coat?
That's it. That would be much better.
Sure, it'd be easy for me, too.
Well, how can you... What do you do, make the hole in the back of the coat?
Yes, make a hole in the back of the coat.
I see. Well, now, it'd need about 3 fittings, huh?
I think it would. Maybe more.
Would you like to come down and do the fitting in our place, or can we bring the kangaroo up here? For the
no, I'll go down to your place. I don't know whether the superintendent would allow me to bring a kangaroo.
Well, now, all right, in the fittings, does it have to take long? You see, it's a little ticklish.
Well, I might be able to fit him in an hour. I might be able to fit him in 20 minutes. It depends if he's all right, not restless.
Uh-huh. Well, no, he's not restless. He jumps a little bit.
Well, that's all right. Maybe give me 3/4 of an hour.
Do you ever have a very ticklish customer?
Oh, I have very many ticklish customers. They're very sensitive. Some go to measure them around the chest, and they jump.
Uh-huh.
They measure them around the seat, and they jump.
Yeah. And, well, this kangaroo will jump. That's why I asked about it.
So. Well, I'm used to jumping people anyhow, so I take a chance on the kangaroo.
Uh-huh.
I could do it all right within an hour.
Don't cover the pocket in the front, though.
No, I won't.
Yeah, okay. And, give me an idea about the cost of this thing.
Gee whiz, I'm going out of the human line now, human being. I don't know. I'd like to take it for just experience, and I'd give you the cost after I make it up, and I'll guarantee I won't joke you. Tell my clientele I just made a zoot suit for a kangaroo.
There is a famous Chinese proverb, author unknown, which says, no ticky, no washy. English translation, without presenting that half of a laundry ticket corresponding to the half on your little bundle, you have no hope of retrieving your shirts from a Chinese laundryman. Well, July 27th marks the date when a legend, one of our united notions, was put to the test. The man with the hidden mic went into a Chinese laundry to try to get his laundry without the ticket. Let's see what came out in the wash.
I brought my wash in here a couple of days ago, and I can't find my ticket for it.
What happened? What did you do with it?
I must have lost the ticket. I looked for it, and I can't find it. It was just, you know, a little ticket.
The ticket. Don't you remember the number on the ticket?
No, I don't remember the number on it.
Don't remember. Do you know exactly the days that you bought in the laundry?
It was about a week ago, a week or 8 days ago.
A week, 8 days ago. That we could be finished, and then... Do you know what you had in your bundle?
Yeah, there was about 3 shirts and a couple of pair of underwear and some socks.
My socks are...
And some handkerchiefs.
I see. Now, okay, you wait a minute. I look for the Sabano, my partner for you. Don't you remember any marking?
I don't remember the marking, no.
The marking.
I've been here before.
You've been here before, huh?
Yeah.
All right. Will you come over here a minute? To bend down, let me look at your collar. Let me find a marking over there.
Oh, you want to look for a marking right
yeah.
here? Oh, all right.
Give me, please. All right. The marking is the AF.
AF?
Yeah, AF your marking. And then here you are. Let's see. This, not this one, and that one. Here you are. This one is your. All right.
Good.
Here you are. And all right. Let me open your bundle. Let me look it up and see if you are things.
Good.
Is it all right?
Yeah, those
all
are
right.
my...
Yes, you are?
Yeah, those are my tests.
All right, that's it, good.
So what do I do now? Can I just take it?
No, you have to pay for it and then sign for your name.
Oh, yes, I'll pay for it. And sign my name here. Give it, I'll sign it.
All right, you wait inside your... All right, sign over here. There's a book for a lost ticket. Just put down your name and your address. That'll be all right.
What about this no ticky, no washy? What about that?
Oh, there's the phony stuff.
There was a moral to this scene from real life. When men have honest face, Chinese laundryman will give him shirt off his rack. To really pick out the waiter in many a restaurant, he'd be the man sitting at the table, waiting for the waiter. The man with the hidden mic a couple of weeks ago went out to one restaurant where he turned the tables on one of them. He never got his dinner, but the secret recording he came out with turned out to be the one most of you wanted to hear again. If you, too, have ever been intimidated by a waiter who kept you cooling your heels while the chef cooled your steak, listen and live.
Waiter, I think I'd like to have this special dinner here.
Yeah, what would you like to have?
Let's see now. It says a dollar and a half tomato juice, vegetable soup, roast beef. Do I have to take that tomato juice? Can I have pineapple juice instead?
No, we haven't got it. And that's the bill of fare. It's made up that way by the chef, and I have to wait.
I mean, but have we got some, let's see, any other kind of juice?
Nope, only tomato juice.
Only tomato juice. Vegetable soup. You got any consomme or anything like
that? No, vegetable soup, just the way it's on the bill of fare.
Vegetable soup, huh? I don't like vegetable soup.
Well, I can't help that if you don't like vegetable soup. You eat the roast beef and pay a dollar and a half just the same.
Could I change the soup for some fruit salad?
See, I got some custard might be.
Wait, just a second. All right, now the roast beef with carrots and peas. Could I change that to string beans?
No, carrots and peas, that's the standard.
Oh, but carrots and peas, I don't like carrots and peas.
Oh, then you eat it without carrots and peas.
Well, what other vegetable could I have?
Nothing. Eat the potatoes. Double portion potatoes.
Can I have any vegetable?
Nope.
Can I have a salad?
Nope. No salad.
What flavor ice cream you got?
Vanilla and chocolate.
No strawberry?
No strawberry, no. Not a berry.
Well, what other dessert? You have any?
Vanilla and chocolate ice cream. Either you take vanilla or you take chocolate or do without it.
No, but look,
mister, you're taking my time away.
No, wait, just a second. I want this dinner, but I can't find anything I like on it yet.
Well,
I don't like tomato juice.
You like tomato juice. You don't like no soup, but you like the roast beef.
Yeah.
But you don't like no carrots and peas.
Right.
You want ice cream, but you don't like the vanilla ice cream. You don't like the chocolate.
If I could have this dollar and a half dinner with tomato juice, I'll even take tomato juice.
Yeah.
Nice consomme.
I got no consomme.
All right. Roast beef with string beans and French fried potatoes. And I'll even take the ice cream.
No, either you take it or you...
Ask the chef.
I don't go in the chef. The chef's going to run with the kitchen knife after me.
No,
sir.
Can't you change it a little bit?
Nope, nothing changed.
According, that's the standby, and that's all that's due. I work on according to schedule.
The what?
According to schedule. That's a schedule for me.
What do you mean? It's a dinner.
That's all right, but for me it's a schedule. What I've got on here, I got to sell. I can sell nothing else what I haven't got on there.
Well, maybe he's got a lot of pineapple juice.
Well, I
got to
get rid
there.
Of this stuff first, eh?
Well, what are you trying to get rid of it on me?
Well, if you don't take it, somebody else will.
I have to eat.
Yeah, but...
You're here to serve me.
Yeah, but...
I want you... this dollar and a half dinner, but I want to make a couple of little changes. Ask him about it.
No.
Could you take the carrots out and only peas?
No, the carrots and the peas is together, and there's two men to pick the carrots out. Then when I bring the peas, you want the carrots in it.
I don't like carrots. I can't stand them.
Don't eat them. Just pick out the peas. Take it or leave it.
I'll tell you what. On this $1.50 dinner, if I leave off the tomato juice and I leave off the carrots and peas, how much will a dinner cost?
That's still a dollar and a half, and even you only eat one slice of roast beef, it's still a dollar and a half.
Well, that's not fair.
Well, fair or not fair, if you don't can eat, that's not my fault.
So what do I have to have? It looks like I have no choice. What do I have to have? What can you do for me on this?
Well, I give it a whole shooting match, and you pick out whatever you like.
That was Candid Microphone for today. And that's what it has sounded like since we broadcast our first secret recording 9 weeks ago. As usual, you heard no names, but also as usual, you heard the conversations and reactions of people as they really sound. That's because none of them ever knew they were being overheard by the Candid Microphone.
Is tailored for your entertainment, and we would like to have your candid comments about it. Write to Candid Microphone, care of the American Broadcasting Company, New York 20, New York. Tell us where you'd like us to take our microphone. Challenge us, if you care to do the things you've always wanted to do and never got around to doing. And don't pull your punches. Make your comments as candid as our secret recordings. Listener mail supplies us each week with new ideas for the man with the hidden mic. We promise to answer each one of your letters. Next week, Candid Microphone will bring you more secret recordings gathered by the man with the hidden mic as he catches people in the act of being themselves. We hope you join us again next Sunday at the same time when we'll be back over most of these ABC stations. On the technical staff behind the Candid Microphone are Joe Graham, Ralph Norman, Al Slepp, and John Larkin. Candid Microphone is a copyrighted Alan A. Funt production. This is ABC, the American Broadcasting Company.